The Lord be with you.
Amen.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, "I shall give to you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All this will be yours if you worship me." Jesus said to him in reply, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then he led him to Jerusalem, made him stand on the parapet of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him in reply, "It also says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. The Gospel of the Lord. And so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Rise and shine, everybody. Everybody in their places with bright, shining faces for this 6:30 a.m. Mass. How much you bet people show up at 8:30? Bet you anything. I'd watch it if I had a closed-circuit camera and eat popcorn and laugh. But anyway, that has nothing to do with my homily. It's Lent. We're not off to a good start. You're not supposed to be smiling or laughing, right? Best season of the year, Lent is. And we're here for our first Sunday of Lent. And I want to try to help you. Try to make this the best Lent ever. I want this Lent to make a difference that lasts after Easter Sunday, right? Because if it doesn't last after Easter Sunday, what's the point? So, you know, best season of the year, Lent is. I'm going to start you off with a little thought that I hope you find helpful. And this little thought goes out to anybody who's angry with God. Angry with God, disappointed, disillusioned, teetering on the edge of unbelief. Now, if that's not you, give thanks to God Almighty in heaven above. But I'm absolutely certain that that describes to a T somebody you know. That's just the way the world is these days. So a word that goes out to anybody who's angry with God or teetering on the edge of unbelief. You know, Lent is the season in which you turn your heart back to the Lord. Remember that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Turn away from sin. Be faithful to the gospel. Do you ever stop to consider that turning your heart back to the Lord isn't so much something that you do as it is something that God does in you? You turn away from sin, you realize you haven't so much achieved something great as you have received something great. Anybody who turns away from sin has, in fact, received a very, very great gift. But here's the thing. God's gifts, they're not like the gifts we give each other. You know, it's not like a Christmas gift or a birthday gift and saying, "Well, here is something for you," and we say, "Gee, thanks." God's gifts are different. Every time God gives you a gift, he always gives you a responsibility right along with the gift. God's gifts always ask for our cooperation. And you can't cooperate with the Lord unless you first trust the Lord. And you can't trust the Lord until you first overcome the three basic temptations to disbelieve. Do you know there's three basic temptations to disbelieve? And it's amazing, they correspond almost exactly to these three temptations that the devil gives to Jesus when he's in the desert, right? Devil speaks three temptations to the Lord. You just got finished hearing them. Truth of the matter is, all of them come right out of our own hearts. We could have said to the Lord any and all of these, because they're the three basic temptations to disbelieve. Let me try to walk you through all three of them. Hopefully you find this helpful. Okay, first temptation to disbelieve goes something like this. You say to yourself, God could answer my prayers. He's got the power to give me blessings and graces, but he won't do it. He's perfectly able to hear my prayer and answer my prayer, but he won't do it. And you feel like turning to the Lord and you say, hey, Lord, here's the deal. This is what I want from you. And I need you to deliver it. I'm saying my prayers. I'm doing my part. You need to do your part. It's almost like we say with the devil in the desert, Lord, deliver me the bread. You're the Son of God. Command these stones to become bread. And they could be very legitimate things that we ask of God. Could be somebody's health. Could be the conversion of heart of somebody we love. Very good prayer. Could be a dire economic circumstance. Could be your own health. And the catch is, you don't turn to God in humble petition and say, you know, Lord, please, this is what I ask of you. But rather, you make it a mercenary exchange, in which you say, you know, Lord, here's the deal. I'll hold up my end of the bargain. I do my thing. I say my prayers. I go to church. You got to hold up your end of the bargain. And we forget that God is a loving, generous Father, and we begin to see God as a tight-fisted miser from whom we have to wrench favors out of his unwilling clutch. First temptation against faith. Terrible, terrible misunderstanding. Here's the second one. You look around the world and you see how very, very badly messed up it is, right? Disfigured, twisted, so twisted you wonder whether God had anything to do with making this place. And you say to God, you say, look, Lord, before I'm going to believe in you, you got to fix this place. It's as if you say with the devil in the desert, here's the kingdoms of the world, Lord. Take charge, for goodness sakes. Dominate. Stop the wars. Stop the abortion. Stop the injustice. Stop the corruption. What's the matter with you, Lord? Can't you see how bad things are? This is my second demand of you, Lord. You've got to fix this broken world. Straight off the devil's lips, but doesn't that one come right up out of each one of our hearts? And here's the third big temptation to disbelieve. You refuse to believe that God can work through ordinary things. It has to be a sign. It has to be a miracle. You just refuse to believe he can be at work in the ordinary. And it's like you say with the devil in the desert, if you're the Son of God, prove it. Jump down on this temple, see who catches you. Give me a sign, Lord, because I just don't believe that you're actually really at work through ordinary things in my life, you know, like the people in my home or in my place of work or in my school. And I can't believe that you're at work through such mundane things as ordinary irritations and difficulties or things as simple as the weather. And I flat out refuse to believe that you are at work in the difficulties, in the sufferings of life. No, you have to give me a sign, Lord, because I refuse to believe under any other circumstances. Straight off the devil's lips, but doesn't that one come right out of our heart as well? Three basic temptations in which people disbelieve. Now, you just heard all those here in the gospel, and our Lord answers all three of those. What does he say in answer to all three of those? He says, it is written, one does not live on bread alone. It is written, worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. And it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. So Jesus answers all three of those basic temptations. But question for you here this morning. Do you really find those three little scripture quotes to be satisfying? I mean, don't get me wrong, it's the inspired word of God and it's Jesus himself who's speaking. But weigh that in the scale against the depths of your frustration, difficulty, and your temptation to disbelieve. And does that really balance out the scale? Is that really enough? You got to say the answer is no. So does Jesus ever address these three basic temptations in any other way in his life? He sure does. He sure does. You know where he does it? He does it from the cross. Answering in actions in ways that can never be reduced to mere words. And this is really my message for you this morning. If you're teetering on the edge of unbelief, disappointed with God, angry with God, I plead with you. Learn to see God in a crucifix. Learn to see the Lord by looking at a cross. Do you realize that Jesus is the most perfect revelation of God that there ever could possibly be? God can't reveal himself more perfectly to us than actually by becoming one of us. You look at Jesus, you're looking at God. Everything Jesus says, something God says. Everything Jesus does, something God does. Perfect revelation. But the most perfect moment in which he ever revealed himself was on the cross. You want to understand God? Learn to see him by looking at a cross. So you take that first temptation to disbelief and you say, God's a tight-fisted miser. He's not giving me his blessings. Now look at a crucifix. And ask yourself, is there anything that he's holding back? He's giving everything he could possibly give, even right down to the last drop of his blood. You want to understand who God is and how generous God is, learn to look and see him as he hangs there on the cross. Second temptation. God won't fix the world. He dodges all the evils. He runs away from all the hardships. Now, if you would take that temptation and just look at a crucifix. Is there any evil in the world God's running from at that moment? Is he dodging? Couldn't be further from the truth. Not an evil that has ever been done or ever will be done in all of history. He doesn't carry on his shoulders at that moment. And that's who he really is. Please remember that next time you're tempted to disbelief. Third basic temptation. If you're the Son of God, for goodness sakes, prove it. Right? Give me some kind of a sign. This is the hardest one of all to answer. This is the hardest one of all, but if there's ever a gospel passage that leads us to where the answer is, it's the one that you just heard, because only the Gospel of Luke, when he talks about the temptations of Jesus, he's the only one that includes this last line, when the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from Jesus for a time. For a time. He came back to tempt him again. Now the devil, you know what he does? He always tempts you when you're at your lowest. He's really a coward, the devil is. He always tempts you when you're at your weakest, when you're at your lowest. So when does he tempt Jesus? Well, he tempts him when he's in the desert. Poor guy's been fasting for 40 days, made of flesh and blood just like you are. He's at his weakest. That's when the devil shows up to tempt him. He came back to tempt him again. Anybody know when that time was? It was the next time Jesus was at his lowest. He comes back to tempt him again when he's hanging on the cross. And here's the greatest temptation Jesus ever faced in his entire life. He's hanging on the cross and his friends and his enemies, mockingly and derisively say, if you're the Son of God, come down off that cross. Prove it. Then we'll all believe. That's what they all said. And he doesn't do it. Question for you this morning. Could he have done it if he wanted to? Of course he could have done it if he wanted to. This is the guy who walked on water. This is the guy who raised the dead. This is the guy who multiplied the loaves and the fishes. And remember, when you look into the crucifix, please remember that it's not the nails that holds our Lord onto the cross. It's his love for you. You can't kill God. only reason Jesus dies on the cross is he hands himself over to that fate. This isn't a murder. This is a sacrifice out of love and freely willed. Of course he could have come down off that cross and with a legion of angels and he could have smited all of his enemies, but he doesn't do it. Why doesn't he do it? Why doesn't he do it? Well, whenever you talk about why God does or doesn't do anything, the reasons are manifold, but here's a couple. First reason why he doesn't do it is he wants to show you that his ways are so much higher than yours, you can't even imagine it. He's not going to reduce himself to acting on your terms. You know, so the devil says, you know, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. And in his life, our Lord responds, I'll throw myself down. I'll throw myself down way beyond anything that you could have ever thought. I'll throw myself down into the depths of the pit of sin, and I will redeem every last one of poor fallen humanity. The devil says, if you're the Son of God, why don't you take charge? Show yourself a king. And our Lord says, I'll show myself a king, but not like anything you've ever seen before. The crown I'll wear, to show the depths of my greatness, that'll show the love that I have for this people, even if those thorns do pierce my flesh, even if it is an ignominious crown of thorns. The devil says to Jesus, command these stones to become bread. Jesus says, I'll give you bread. I'll give you bread the likes of which you haven't even dared to imagine before. Take this, all of you, and eat of it. This is my body given up for you. How far above your thoughts are God's thoughts? It's one of the reasons why he can't reduce himself to our terms. But you know, here's the other reason why. Because flat out, you've got to choose to, at some level in your heart, you've got to decide that you're going to believe and he's not going to force your hand. Of course, he couldn't come down off that cross. He could do anything he wants. But what happens to your freedom if he does that? You have to choose, and you've got to make up your mind that how you're going to choose to believe in him, and Lent is a great time to do it. While you're thinking about that decision, think about this as well. You're teetering on the edge of unbelief, you're angry with God, you're frustrated. Would you ask yourself this one question? What is it that you really want God to do? What is it that you want of him? Do you want to do his will? Or rather, do you want that God will do your will? A little thought for you. A little examination of conscience for you as we make our way through Lent. As we progress through this holy season, growing in grace, growing in faith, and until we can please God arrive at the time when we can truly say from our hearts, Jesus, I trust in you. Amen.